Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
If you want to call the third one, you'll see why I'm saying that tonight when I read it. If you want to call it a question, I would preach this morning on this thought. Three of the greatest questions that will ever be asked in time or eternity. And so it is in this text here this morning. Job says, how can a man be just with God? If you study the book of Job, you'll find that his accusers has come to him and have accused him of everything. Job comes to the conclusion here by saying, how can a man be just with God? And when you study the book of Job, and I'll come back to that thought in just a minute, when you study the book of Job, it has been said, and I'm sure our pastor has preached it, yeah, this is probably the oldest book in all the Bible. If you study, I believe there's a number of reasons for that this morning. And I realize in the order that the Bible's written this morning, it's not in the written in the order that it's the oldest book in the Bible. But when you study the context of the scripture this morning and the context of the book of Job this morning, you'll find there's things that's said there that's not said anywhere else. I think it's probably at least three reasons this morning why I think it's the oldest book in the Bible. I believe, first of all, it's the oldest book in the Bible because there's no mention of the law anywhere in this book. If you study, of course, the book of Exodus, you'll find when the law was given. But when you come to the book of Job this morning, nowhere in the book of Job does it talk about the law. That's the second reason I believe it's the oldest book in the Bible. It's because in chapter number 1, verse number 5, men is still offering sacrifice for their sin. Not the burnt sacrifice and not the sacrifices on the altar, but they're offering sacrifice for themselves. And you find that in the book of Genesis, how that happens this morning. They're still, during this time, offering a sacrifice for themselves. And that is so true. Then the third reason I believe it's probably the oldest book of the Bible, it's simply because this morning the conversation that Job has is with Jehovah. Matter of fact, Phil said, and I'll say more about this another time, has a lot of questions mentioned in this book of Job. And if you said it this morning, Job asks a lot of questions. And I'm sure if you're in this service this morning, you've been saved any length of time. I'm sure there's questions you know mine from time to time. Why did this and why that? And so it is in the book of Job. And what God does in Job 38-39, he begins to answer Job's questions. As a matter of fact, I counted, if you study your Bible, you'll find there's 200, at least 200, and 97 questions that's asked in the book of Job. Now, I counted that many. But there's probably more than that this morning. Job is asking God this and this and this and this. And Job does not understand why things are happening the way they are. So what he does in these first 37 chapters here, Job asks all kinds of questions. But when you come to chapter 38, you'll find that God begins to answer Job those questions. Boy, it's a great message. If you want to study it sometime. And Job 38-39, God asked Job this question. He said, where was you when I laid the foundation of this thing? Where were you at, Job, when I pulled the plumb line, so to speak, across the universe and laid the foundation of this thing? Hey, Job, where was you at? When I hung the stars out and flung them out into space, where was you at? He asks Job there some tremendous questions this morning. And if you study your Bible today, you'll find the Bible is a book as full of questions today. I thought about several. I'm not going to preach on them. I thought about what Cain said. Cain said in Genesis chapter 4, there, verse 9, he said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, what a question. Yes, study why he asked that. Am I my brother's keeper? I think about what Abraham said. At Genesis 18, he made this statement. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What a tremendous question this morning. I think about what Elisha said. After Elijah went to heaven, Elisha smote the water. And the Bible said, Elisha said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? What a tremendous question. I think about what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? What a good question today. I think about what Pilate said. You mean what Pilate said? How Pilate said, when the Lord stood before him, Pilate said, what is truth? That's a tremendous message this morning in that today. But I want to deal with two of these questions here this morning, and I'll deal with the other one tonight. Notice in the text this morning, there's two questions asked today. Number one, the Bible said in chapter 9 here, and verse number 2, how can a man be just with God? How can a man be just with God? Now, get the setting of the scripture this morning. Job's friends has accused him of everything. As a matter of fact, if you'll study it, you'll find that Job's friends even come to the conclusion, Job, you're probably not even saved. You probably don't even know God. And they accused him of that. They told him, said, the reason your children's dead because of your sin. And they accused him of a lot of things. And Job comes to the conclusion here and said, how can a man be just with God? Oh, my soul, all this stuff you're saying and all this you're doing, how can a man be just with God? Think about that statement this morning. How can an unholy man, how can a depraved man, how can a dead man, how can a corrupt man, how can a wicked man, how can a vile man or woman be just with a thrice holy God? God is such a holy God, he don't look on sin. He wouldn't even look at his son on Calvary because of my sin and your sin. And Job is asking the question this morning, how in the world, how can a man be just with God? I want to say to you this morning, I'm glad. Thank God, hallelujah, how we can be justified in the sight of God. Are you listening to me this morning? And so I said the word justification. It means just as if we've never sinned. That's a good definition. But that's just a little bit of the definition of the word. How can a man be just with God? Well, anyway, think about justification. Justification is in three parts. It deals with my past. It deals with my present. And it deals with my future. It deals with my past. I've been justified. Job said, how can I be just or justified in the sight of God? How can things be right between me and a thrice holy God? I said he deals with our faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It deals with a past in that our sins are gone. They'll never be brought up again. Hey, we come before God as a bankrupt sinner. And God comes down with his gavel and the high court of heaven and saying the world is guilty. And we were guilty and we are guilty. But you know what happened? I will tell you, thank God through the Lord Jesus this morning, how you and I can be justified. What that means is this. It deals with your past. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, the day you got saved, got forgiven. He didn't only get forgiven, he got justified. It's put behind you. It's never going to be brought up again. If that ever dawns on you, we'll have to catch you down the haystack road. It'll never be brought up again. I'm telling you, the high seraph of heaven, the Lord Jesus, God himself, declares that you and I, we've been justified. Our sins, thank God, are gone and shall never be brought up again. You don't only deal with our past. How about it deals also with our present? And right now, because of Christ, I'm just like Christ. When God sees me, he sees Christ. When he sees me, he don't see my sin. He don't see what I was. It's as though I have never sinned one time. I'm more pure in the sight of God even than a newborn baby. And justified. It deals with my past. It deals with my present. And I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to worry anymore. Hey, listen, if I die this morning, I know where I'm going. It deals with my past, it deals with my present, but it also deals with our future. And what I said, remember that is, we don't fear when we stand before God no more. I'm standing there in his son today. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. How can a man be just with God? That word just or justified, just simply means righteous. It means clean. It means holy. And think about that this morning. How can I be just with a holy God? How can I be clean? How can I be righteous? How can I be clean in the sight of God? Let me give you this while I give you my message. First of all, let me say this real quick. How the basis of our justification, the basis of our justification, our relationship depends on somebody else. It doesn't depend on what I can do. It doesn't depend what you... You see, man had broke the law of God. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon men, all men. And I want to say this to you this morning. When God sees me this morning, through justification, he doesn't see my sin. But I'll tell you this morning, you got to see your need of God. Hey, you got to see your need of the Lord. Hey, you got to see that you're lost without God for to ever save you today. Listen to this. You don't have to be a bank robber to be a sinner. You don't have to be a murderer to be a sinner. You don't have to be a drug dealer to be a sinner. You don't have to be a drunk to be a sinner. Bible said in Romans 3, the basis of our need of our justification. The basis of our need of justification. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the basis of our need of justification. See, listen to me. You need God this morning. I'm telling you, a sinner without God, and the basis of that this morning is a fact. You got to realize today that you need God, and you need justification. Are you listening? The basis of our, the basic need of justification. Listen, you got to realize you need God. You got to realize you need the Lord. You say, I'm doing pretty good. You'll go to hell like a bullet. You get what I just said? Yes, I'm doing right. Yeah, but you'll still die lost without God. Have the basic need of justification. It's come to the realization that we're fallen man. We're lost. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by practice. We're sinners this morning because we choose that. And I will say to you this morning, Paul had a problem with trying to get that across. The Church of Galatia and those others, they talk about how good they were. He talked about the law and how they kept the law. Listen to me. There's not a person in this room that's ever kept the law. I was witnessed to one in a motel this week while I was preaching and wherever I was at. But anyhow, I witnessed this woman in a motel. She's sitting in the lobby, and I came down, and I started talking to her. And I began to witness to her and talk to her about getting saved. And I told her, I said, we've all broke the law of God. She said, I've never broke the law. I said, you live by the Ten Commandments every day. I said, have you ever lied? She said, no. I said this one, she hadn't slapped me. I said, what are you doing right now? I did. And are you listening to me? Hey, listen, money cannot buy justification. Being proper can't buy justification. Being a good person can't buy justification. You got to realize the basic need of justification. You got to realize you need that this morning. Job said, how can I be just with God when I look at my condition? How can I be just with God? Listen to me this morning. Justification is a gift of God. It's all the blessing of it is always based on what somebody else done. Not what you've done, but what he's done. I said justification is based on the fact of somebody else and what he's done. You see, Adam's sin declared us all unrighteous. But Christ going to Calvary, thank God, I declare you and I saved by the grace of God. Listen to this. You'll never, come here, Brother Jacob, you'll never, ever touch God without justification. Look verse 33. Watch this verse in verse 33. Neither is our days betwixt us that we may lay our hand upon both. Let me show you what happened. Come here, Jacob. Come here, Brother Scott. What's your name? Don't you stay on top. No, don't you stand right here. Don't you stand right there. Don't you go on top. Job said what we need is a daysman. We need somebody to get a hold of God. We need somebody to go between. We need a go-between. You can't get to God by yourself. You can't reach up and hold the commandments because we broke them all. And here's what Job said. He said we need a daysman. We need somebody that can touch the world with one hand and reach up and get a hold of a thrice holy God with the other hand. And here's what happened. I'm a sinner. He's Jesus. And he's God. Don't he look like Jesus? I'm a sinner. He's Jesus. He's God. God get lined up. Here's what happens. Man tries to reach up and get a hold of God. Man can't get a hold of God. You're a sinner this morning. You can't keep the law. You lie, you cheat, you do wrong, and you reach up and try to get a hold of the basis, the blessing of justification. You reach up. Job said, we need somebody to go between us. I need somebody to get hold of my hand down here and put my hand in a thrice holy God and bring the two together. I'm a sinner. I'm trying to get a hold of God. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to do human works. I'm paying my bills. I'm doing all that. But yet I can't touch God. So I need a go-between. I need somebody that will be a go-between. Well, is he? Here's what happened. That daysman, that go-between, somebody that can reach up and reach down and get a lost sinner and reach up and get a hold of God at the same time. Hello. Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm telling you that the blessing of justification, it's not what you can do. You say, I'm a good fellow, you'll go to hell. You say, I pay my debts, you'll go to hell. You say, I'm good to my community, that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not what you do. That lady told me this week, Brother Robert, she said, I pay my bills. And I believe she did. I pay my bills, I'm good to my children. I do every bit of that. And I said, ma'am, that's wonderful. But I said, have you ever heard tell of a man called Jesus dying on the cross and nailing our sins to a cross? You ever heard that story? Yeah, but I do good. Here's what she's saying. Come here, Jesus. Come over here, Jesus. Here's what she's saying. I don't need Jesus. My good works are going to get it done. My paying my bills are going to get it done. My good to my family is going to get it done. If that is true, he made the biggest mistake he ever made when he went to a cross and died for our sins. I'm telling you, he made the biggest mistake that's ever been made when he suffered and let them drive nails through his head and a spear in his side and a crown of thorns on it. Hey, every bit of that's in vain. If your good works will save you. Are you listening? No, I can't get to God. I got to have somebody. I got to have a go-between. Are you listening? I realize I can't get to God. Job said, I need a daysman. I need somebody can reach down and get a hold with me with one hand. And reach up and get a hold of thrice holy God. But hallelujah, glory to God. Are y'all hearing me preach this morning? That's a blessing of justification. You can't do it by yourself. Are you listening? I want to reemphasize this. Listen to me. I'm for doing good. I'm for treating your wife right. I'm the best husband my wife's ever had. Are y'all listening? And I believe in that, Brother Stan. But what I do will not save me. I brought up in a preacher's home. My daddy made me go to church. If I didn't go, he took a switch and wore me out. Hello, Mom and Daddy. And are you listening? You say, boy, your kind went out with a covered wagon. You ought to have been on that wagon. Are you listening? I had to go. I didn't have no choice about that. I was made to do right. He made me go. Are you listening? But I'll tell you, that would not save me. My dad is an old-time preacher. My mom is an old-fashioned shouting woman. And they're known for all over the country. But that wouldn't help me. I can't get into heaven on my mama's dress tail. I can't get into heaven on my daddy's good works. I want to tell you, every bit of that's good. But if that's what takes me to heaven, just get out of the way. We don't need Jesus. You're a fool to think that. I'm telling you, friend, you're lost. I'm telling you, doing good won't save. Job said, how can a man be just with God? And in the same chapter, he answered this question. In the same chapter, he answered this question. How Job said, give me somebody that can get a hold of my hand down here and somebody can get a hold of God's hand up there. And buddy, I don't tell you, hanging on the cross of Hallelujah. Hanging on the cross, you know what happened? He took my sin, thank God, and nailed him to the cross. Yes, he did. And the only way you'll ever get to God, the only way you'll ever be justified, declared right, righteous, and holy, in the high court of heaven. I got a ticket one time in Sevierville, Tennessee. This is not a good story. Speeding ticket. I have never had an officer be more nicer to me than that man. He apologized to me for giving me the ticket. He really did. He said, "Sir, I tell you what to do." And he gave me the name of the DA or somebody in Sevierville County there. I said, "Tell them," I said, "call them." I called them and I said, "He gave me a ticket." He said, "You'd help me." And the lady said, "I've got her name in my desk right now. I love her. I'm going to buy her a meal if I ever go to that town." And she said, "Hang on a minute. She must have stayed gone. You remember this, Mom? She must have stayed gone 10 minutes. I thought she hung up." After a bit, she came back. She said, "The judge said, that ticket's like your sin. There's no remembrance of it." Are y'all hearing me? It don't work that way every time, but listen to this. Listen to this. Here's what happened. Because of him, my sins are gone. He took my sin. He took my judgment. He took my condemnation. I couldn't get to God by myself. He took it. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Are you listening? What's a big Jesus? Thank you, fellas. Job said, "How can a man," listen, friend, if you believe in the work of salvation, Jesus Christ made the biggest mistake he's ever made. And I want to clear the hour. I've got 9 minutes. I want to clear the hour, and I want to say this real quick. I do not believe in eternal security to the point that you can get saved and drink liquor and live like a devil and do anything you want to do. If you say you got saved and you can do that, you've never met the God of that Bible. You'll say, "Well, you mean to tell me he'll make me do right?" No, but he'll make you wish you had. Are you listening? If you're saved. So the first question is asked here. Job said, "How can a man be just for God?" Look at my second question real quick. Notice this question here. Bible says in chapter number 14. That ain't the right verse. Notice the second question. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. "Man that's born of a woman is a few days." And here's the verse, 14:14. "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." The second question Job asks here, not only how can a man be just with God, but the second question is this: if a man dies, shall he live again? I got the answer to that real quick. Yes, your body is going to die, but your soul and spirit will never die. The day you was conceived in your mother's womb, you became a living soul, and that soul shall never die. You say, "I don't take that approach to that." Well, you can be wrong if you want to. But I say when you was conceived in your mother's womb, you became a living soul to never die. And I'll say this to you this morning: if a man dies, shall he live again? Job was boiled from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Scabs all over him. I'll show you that tonight. In bed shape. And Job said, "There's got to be something better than this. Man, if a man dies, shall he live again?" I want to say real quick this morning, thank God, yes, if you're saved. I said, thank God. And by the way, he says in Job 14:1, "Man that's born of a woman is of how many days?" Few days and full of trouble. Look up here and listen to me real quick. You're not going to escape death. There's nobody in this room, unless you get to rapture, is going to escape death. I heard a very popular preacher on TV make this statement this morning. He said he really enjoyed the internet and said he enjoyed it so much he hopes that he can film the rapture and sell stuff about it during the tribulation. God bless him. Hope he enjoys it. I ain't going to be here. Y'all know that preacher too. It said that. But listen to this. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say to you. Hey, you're going to die sooner or later. And as it is appointed unto man, wants to die. We're going to die. The older I get, the more I realize that, Brother Rob. I'm going to die some of these days. I'm going to breathe my last breath some of these days. I'm going to come to church my last time some of these days. I'm going to get up out of my bed the last time some of these mornings. I'm going to lay down in my bed one night the last time. Listen to this. Sooner or later, and it could be sooner, you're going to die. If a man dies, shall he live again? You're going to die. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. You're going to die. And by the way, listen to this. All those years I pastored, I've stood and preached a many a time to people. And before the week's over, I preached some of their funerals. Them I preached to on Sunday morning, Brother Joe. During the week, I preached their funeral. And are you listening to me? The question is, if a man dies, shall he live again? I want to say real quick, if you're saved, yes. Yes. I'm glad, thank God, we the same. By the way, we don't die. We just get promoted. Our flesh dies. Our body lays down. But Brother Jim, we get promoted. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Oh, Junior Eastern, you say I'm a winner either way. Huh? And I want to say to you this morning, yes, for the saved, we will live again. And I will tell you, when I lay this body down, this body lays down in death. Thank God I have a building not made with hands. Eternal the heavens, you and I the same. It's going to be a good day. But listen to this. If you're not saved, yes. Yes. Job talked about Job 19, verse 25, 26. How that when he died, how that the worms would devour his flesh. But Job's going to be living somewhere. I want to say to you this morning, the question is, if men die, shall they, you're going to live somewhere. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to die. Prove me that. Somebody stand up in this room this morning and prove to me you'll be here next Sunday. You can't do it. You cannot stand up and tell me for sure. You're not sure you'll be back here tonight. I hope I'll be back tonight, but I can't promise you that. I hope by the grace of God I will. And I just want to say to you this morning, listen to me. The truth of the matter is the unsaved. If a man dies, shall he live again? You're going to live somewhere forever. Luke 16, and I'm not going there. Luke chapter 16, you got two men. You got two funerals. You got two different outcomes. One of them dies, it's saved. He goes to paradise, Abraham's bosom. The other one dies, and the Bible says in verse 23, and lifted his eyes in hell. I got up this morning, studied a good while, Buckshire, getting ready to come to church, and I sat there thinking while I was tying my shoes, somebody else could untie them tonight. I put them on this morning, but the funeral director could take them off tonight. I put these clothes on this morning. But the funeral director could very well take them off tonight. Don't ask you a question. If that happened to you, if men die, shall they live again? If that happened to you, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Think about what I just said. You say, preacher, that's not going to happen to me. Prove it to me it's not. You know, things change when you get old. When you get past 60, my son's headed that way, and he laughs at me now. But you watch him, Brother Jim. He'll do it. You watch him. Here's what he'll do. He gets about 55, 60. He'll buy him a rain gauge, Brother Ted. About 55, 60, he'll get him a, what you call those things, thermometer, is that what you call them? Tells temperature. He'll do it. Get about 55, 60, he'll start watching the weather. This is real bad. Get a little past 60, start looking at the obituaries. I was in a boring place this week, and I don't think I didn't have anything to do, and I just sat there on the internet, looked at the obituary. Pulled up Moody, pulled up Gentry. But you know what shocked me when I do that? He will. He'll get old one day. He'll do it too. But you know what shocked me when I do that, and what shocks me when I do that? The majority of them I look at is younger than me. Younger than me. I made a mistake Wednesday night. I was driving home from revival while I was preaching. And I listened to the Republican debate on the radio. One of those guys running for president was born in 1985. That guy ain't nobody young, and he don't need to really run for nothing. I look at the obituary. Listen to me, and I'm done. I look at the obituaries. And majority of those obituaries are younger than me. Look up here. You're going to die. You're going to face God. You're going to die. If you died ungenerated, you died never been justified, you'll split hell wide open. And I'm not judging you. I would never judge nobody. I'm not judging you. There's only two places to go. One of them's heaven, the other's hell. Job said, how can a man be just with God? How can I be ready to meet God? How can I have my past forgiven and my present standing right with God? How can I be justified? He answered the same thing in that same chapter. He said, I need a daysman. I need a go-between. And I'll tell you, that's what you need this morning. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm good. That's not what saves you, man. I'm for that. Don't misunderstand me. I think y'all do right to people. Pay your bill. I think y'all do all that. But that's not what, that don't have one thing to do with me going to heaven. Not one. Not one else does that have to do with me going to heaven. If that has anything to do with me going to heaven, Jesus made a big mistake when he died on the cross. It's not grace and works. It's not grace and water. It's not grace and this. It's not grace and that. It's grace and grace alone.